The 2020 Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival is here from July 24th to August 2nd. This year, for the first time, it is available for you to view at home online. Head to nziff.co.nz to view the programme.
Amanda Peter talked to director Layla Rolls about the film Tupaia's Endeavour.
Kia ora koutou, Layla Rolls. I want to talk to you about Tupaia's Endeavour. I know you actually from like Insider's Guide to Love, and which I adored that TV show. We all adored it here at RDU. We all used to, you know, it was back in the day before the internet was such a big thing, and we used to like watch it and then talk about it over the coffee the next morning. The Man in the Hat, because I feel like I have a lifetime relationship with his gallery in Cuba Street, Tūwhiri and Children of the Migration. This is just such an astonishing piece. You've got Ricky Gooch doing the music, and you've got Kirk Torrance as Tupaia. What? And Michael Tuffery doing the art. It's like the holy trinity of just...
You're so right. It's so funny, actually. Quite often, like especially with Kirk and Michael, because we travelled so much making the film, it was like, you know, two of the most beautiful men. And people are like, wow, you're lucky working with them. And I'm like, God, they're just like my really annoying little brothers. You know, we became such a family.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really lucky. Beautiful people to collaborate with. And, you know, the whole music thing with Ricky Gooch and Stephen Gallagher, completely, we basically always had wanted to make a feature but kept not quite getting the funding until 2 Ear 250 came along. So the first thing when we got the 2 Ear 250 funding was I rang Stephen Gallagher and said, we've got to make some beautiful music and it's got to be with you and Ricky Gooch. And he was like, yep, we're doing it. So, yeah. Awesome. Very lucky.
Wicked. And I just thought, Tupaia, as someone who teaches social studies, I'm absolutely fascinated by Tupaia's 3D map. The way he navigated is profoundly changed my idea of how I see space, I think.
Yeah, you're so onto it. And you know, interestingly, I won't reveal what the map, what our discovery was, but that map thing, it kept coming to me at night like a dream. I kept waking up and going into my study and picking up that map and holding it in the middle and rolling it around and going, I know that's Aotearoa, the North Island at least, and I know he was thinking of the map like this and how do we show it on film? So we printed it on transparency to look at flipping it over, because that sort of made it translate so that a European brain could read it. But I also said to a good friend of mine who's very visual, I said to my friend Erin Afon, I was like, how do I make this so the guys can show to the camera the rolling over the map, you know, like travelling over the map? And she said, why don't you join the two opposing corners? Because that way you can hold it up to the camera. And so we did that on the day, on the moment, and that's when we made our massive discovery. And the whole film's been like that. Just being open and talking to people and following leads kept making things happen. It was really amazing.
It was utterly amazing. I was so utterly delighted to see that kind of consideration around Tupaia, who was like, every time I see that space, and I think I've seen it in a couple of is it Tapu Atia, the huge marae in Tahiti, is like it's like the kind of South Pacific version of the pyramids, really, isn't it? It's just
totally. Absolutely, totally. And actually, interestingly, this is a complete aside, but I've recently been working on a documentary for a planetarium, and we were researching, and there's one about Mayan architecture, and they built marae just like the one Tupaia built that is no longer there, that is structured, and each step of the structure hit a certain point with the sun or the stars. And I'm suddenly going, whoa, man, maybe that's the next thing to talk about. Were those structured? Because the Marae and Tahiti, they're outside, and the Tahitian Tahua said to us, it's Ma and Ra. Ma is the moon and Ra is the sun, and you do your incantations and your observations outside, so it has to be open to the air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Marae, same here, Marae, except we now have Whareni. But anyway, blah, sorry.
Oh, no, but that was fantastic. Like, I think that to see Tupaia is like coming from a long line of masters, a man of art, someone who N. Semin described as courageous, who took big risks. He was incredibly intellectual, to really think about how he came here and could speak.
Absolutely.
In 1769, you know, how profound that is to kind of a Pacifica history, to Aotearoa, the fact that that oral history, that direct link to the past and the present, and for everybody to be on the same page, that was fascinating, that the past and the present don't really exist, that they're just part of that same continuum. I found this an extraordinary piece. I loved the kind of way that it moved from conversation to sort of reenactment, documentary footage. I found it really flabbergasting that you found that piece of art as well, possibly, that he'd done in Tolaga Bay.
Again, absolute magic. So there's a cave in Opotama in Tolaga Bay, and Māori had taken early settlers up, and they had said that stuff up there, all that art over there, is Tupaia's art. It's sacred, we don't touch it. So he visited there and connected really strongly with the people. And they held wānanga, or sort of like discussions in universities, up in the cave. What was fabulous is he and Māori did their own thing. Cook came and was doing his thing, but Māori and Tupaia were busily doing absolutely their own thing, exploring their own stories and their own religions together, and sharing stories of ancestors they shared in common. But anyway, we're in the cave, and we couldn't find any of this famous Tupaia art, and we were just so gutted. Like, Tuffery was almost crying. And so then we just went, okay, forget it. We're not going to find the art. And Tuffery had bought some beautiful tapa cloth, and he had been planning to lay down tapa as a ceremony to Tupaia. So we said, let's do your ceremony. And he did the most beautiful sort of art installation with his tapa cloth for Tupaia, and then just sat in the cave kind of contemplating. And we're always really broke, so any trip we did, a lot was always at stake. And it's like, God, okay, that credit card's maxed out and we're here and we didn't find the art. But so I was standing there and I said to myself, or to the gods of filmmaking or whoever, I sort of said, ah, God, well, you know, if this film is anything near as beautiful as what Michael has just given us, it doesn't matter if we didn't find the art, if it's anywhere near as beautiful as what Michael has just given us, I'll be happy. And as I said it, I looked up, and right above me was this piece of art by Tupaia. And so, of course, I ruined the shot by going, guys, what the fuck? Ah! You know, like, completely changed the mood. But, pretty cool.
Pretty cool. I one of the things I loved too about Tupaia's endeavour in your film was that it showed that collective experience that filmmaking is. It's such a big enterprise. It was like, you know, like you were saying about the younger annoying brothers, like putting everybody in the car and going on the big trip.
Absolutely. And actually, it's interesting on the younger annoying brother front. So, you know, Kirk and I are really good old mates from years ago, and too many years, and he's in the film partly because I really wanted someone who could swim well, and I go to the beach with him and his family, and he swims like a fish sort of thing. So, but once we got on the journey, we started off in the same usual sort of teasing each other, bro, way we go. But any time we hit something difficult, and we did in Tahiti, we hit sort of cultural situations where this terrible French person who had come on board to help our beautiful French co-producer had brought on this terrible one. And he behaved terribly and made some really bad cultural stuff up. And we had kind of looked to Paul Tapsell to lead, in because he was our older Māori person, to lead us through that. And I think Paul was a bit flabbergasted as well. And Kurt just suddenly stepped up, you know. So what happened on this journey is we all discovered the amazing grace of all of us as well. So Kurt just stepped up and he kind of called a meeting and he said, I'm calling this now. We need some leadership. This is just like took control of the situation in the most mature and graceful way. I was just like, yeah. What? So, yeah, the little brothers grew up as You know, it's awesome.
And remarkable to see Dr. N. Semin. She's always...
Yeah, and she's just amazing.
She utterly is. And then I find out her daughter's involved in
and also just flabbergasted. I mean, both flabbergastingly beautiful women and flabbergastingly intelligent.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes. I just found it just completely... The film completely validated things I thought, but also opened my eyes in a way that I was fascinated by the idea that the families had been disconnected when Māori came here for such a long period of time, and tupaia, like, that conversation started again, and that was so profoundly sad, you know, so profoundly sad that he never got to return and take that knowledge with him.
Do you know, as we've been making it, we've had more realisations like that too. Like, so when Tayato, his acolyte, dies, he was reported as crying and grieving for 2 days. And I was thinking about it recently and thinking, part of that is he was the repository of knowledge. He had given Tayato all the knowledge, and he would have thought, if I die, that's going to be okay, because of that thing of continuum, Tayato's going to take the info back to the people, and then he bloody died just like 2 days before him. So,
I know.
Yeah, I love how you got the film, though. Thanks so much. It's just really great, because you seem to have taken it in this sort of slightly dreamlike, surreal way that we presented it. You know, it's not a formulaic documentary that hangs on a strict structure or anything.
No, it's a profound, utterly profound for me, and I could see it having a real place inside education, actually. I thought that there was a, you know, in its education in its broadest sense is bringing a reimagining of a story that's underknown or dismissed, or just, I think now is the perfect time for that reimagining to occur as well.
That's lovely. I've met with the men of education and said, I can make you clips, you know, I can make clips, because we shot around and above and over and beyond, so you know, to address this thing or that thing. And interestingly, they took it seriously, but then they never followed it through, and part of it, I think, is institutional risk adversity, because if I speak just as a filmmaker, my people in the film speak just as themselves, that's fine. But as the Ministry of Education, when they put something out under their name, it's saying that they're saying these things. So I need to find a way to couch it so education can take it up and go, this is how these people say it, and not feel worried that they're going to be judged for...
Totally part of the social studies curriculum, that idea that because I think today's learners are so interested and curious, and the visual form is so remarkably powerful for them to receive to receive information.
Awesome that you're a social studies teacher, by the way. Did I hear you say that at the beginning? Yes.
I teach social studies and media studies, and I love social studies because it's
my film.
because that's actually one of the long-standing relationships with the film festival is actually as a way of moving film into education, because I think it's you don't have to agree with everything you see. It's really nice to have a range of ideas, and I think social studies is the darkest of the dark arts, because that's actually what it's really about, is about your relationship with ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah, by the way, while we're talking, I've been driving to a meeting. I just realised I've driven completely the wrong way. La 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 la.
Whoops.
I got so engrossed in the conversation. So if I sound distracted, I'm just changing course.
And going back the other way. Oh, no. So where do you think Topaya's endeavour, once we've got through the Ministry of Education, I think too that you're right about institutional risk, but also the difference between upper strategies within education and, you know, what people on the ground are doing in classrooms. There's that great difference between
the great divide.
Oh yeah, it's a big so that's kind of interesting. So where else have you got a live screening of Topaya?
Excitingly, I mean, because as a filmmaker, of course I wanted in the cinema with, you know, Ricky Gooch and Stephen Gallagher's beautiful music score playing around the speakers, and Mel Graham's beautiful sound design, and, you know, all of that. So we have happily got now two screenings in Wellington and two in Auckland, in quite small theatres, though, cinemas. Yeah. But also it's online, and I would encourage people, if you're going to watch it online, please watch it on your biggest, bestest TV set you can. And please, if you've got good speakers, put them on somehow.
I did that.
Awesome.
Through the stereo.
Do it with friends. Do it as a little collection of three or four of you. Or you know. And also, if there's any real experts, I'm dying to hear what you think of the names that are on the islands that are revealed to be discovered by Kirk and Michael in the film, because I think those names, I have some theories, which I've talked to Anne Salmon about a bit too, but as she said, it's not for us to know. Someone who knows will know. So I'm waiting, and I invite any who know to know, please, and then to tell us. share it with your people.
That piece will be fascinating, and I can't talk enough about the art, about the actual, the kind of art within the space, that joyous kind of lived experience of art is fascinating. I just found it utterly...
Taffer is great. He's just really a generous collaborator too. Like, we'd have to pull together pictures to show this or that part of the story, and I go, so Tuff, we need the blah, 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 and he'd go, okay, I'm listening, tell me, you know, like, and really just, really try and hear me, and then do exactly something completely opposite that he felt like doing, but always with the absolute essence of what I was looking for, and better than what I could have hoped.
Absolutely.
You know, every time.
And I think that kind of joyousness sort of drags that, you know, I saw him very much as part of that long line of masters that bring knowledge totally into it. I think Topaya's endeavour is just, it's a real cornerstone for us in Aotearoa to think about our connectedness in a different way, and I think you've achieved something as a group of people who've allowed us to really look with different eyes. I found it utterly exciting.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you so much. That's the best review I could ever hope for.
Awesome. Now, I'm going to let you go because I feel like driving could be important.
Yeah, can you hear the beeping?
Yes, I can hear the beeping.
Some more wrong things.
I know. So I feel like we should not be talking anymore because...
Very good. Totally.
Okay, thank you so much. Awesome. Right. Lovely to talk. See you later.
Ka kite.
The 2020 Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival from July 24th to August 2nd. Head to nziff.co.nz.